Give the Lord a hand of praise for the fire that is burning. That's what I want to say. For the fire that is burning. It's a good fire. You know, when Tim came up and started to speak, I heard the Lord says, I'm building the church. And it's God that builds the church, you know, and he's going to build the church. We know, and just a quick testimony, and the other pastors can vouch for this, because we've had many signs, wonders, and miracles confirm what he has called us to do. We are living cornerstones right now in this year 2017. We are, you know, the new church. That's who we are. We're the new church. Whether they like it or not, we are. And they didn't like it 2,000 years ago when Jesus and the apostles came. They were the new church then, and they didn't like it. They were persecuted without a cause, and we're going to be persecuted without a cause too. We're going to be hated without a cause too. They don't want. I'm sure that man didn't like to hear that Twitter, Tim. You know, but you know what? We hope and pray that the conviction hits his heart and he actually repents, and then changes where he's coming from. Because we are going to hear if we don't speak the truth. And we have a responsibility for the sheep, so to say, as spiritual leaders. They're going to have that voice. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And then they're going to reply, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, the truth has to be told. And the old church has lost its grace. It wasn't intended that way. And that's why God is raising up, you know, people now today with a fire that is burning within to bring people to a relationship with God. It's all about bringing a relationship with God. It's not about making people feel good. It's not about having programs so that you can have, you know, daycares and stuff like that for, you know, the parents or what have you, and then the coffee shops and stuff like that, and the conferences and stuff. For what? Just to say, wow, the glory is so heavy and thick here, you know, come into the glory. And you leave the same as you left, you know, or as you came, you leave the same. And maybe even worse, because you're frustrated, because you're really there trying to seek God and you really want to feel his touch and his presence. And then it's like, what happened? But I understand where you're coming from, and I feel the same fire that's burning inside of me. And I feel great when I see others rise up and begin to share the truth. When, you know, because you can have one crazy guy running around, you know, maybe one person might listen. But when you got 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 crazy people running around, eventually they begin to start clicking and listening. But it's truly, and it's the truth. It's about, unfortunately, it's about the dollar, and it's. The church has made a career business out of it rather than a ministry out of it, in the sense of bringing people into deliverance. And it literally is deliverance. With that being said, I want to thank everyone that has been supporting us, whether you've supported financially or spiritually or physically. I want to thank everyone from the deepest bottom of my heart. Because it does take funds to do what we're doing. With that being said, I'm going to start the message now. And Jim's going to give me the thumbs up for the recording. But, okay, I got the clearance. Amen. So I want to give my Lord and Savior, my Father, with praise and honor and glory. I just had a beautiful brother come into the ministry. And you couldn't. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring him up here. Gregory, come on up here. No. You got, brother, you got to come up here. Yo, we're live right now. And over 10,000 people are watching us right now. See that camera up there? I want you to say hi to the internet world.
Hello, everybody.
This is the brother and Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Gregory again. God says he's going to build the church. And that is a sign and a wonder right there, and a miracle. Because I've been speaking to Pastor Gregory, and he has, too, a fire burning inside him. And that fire was ignited in this place right here. And we're talking about how the church is being changed by the glory of God. And I want to thank God for the sign and the wonder that just walked in. Amen. So let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. Well, we've been speaking almost a series of what God is saying in this hour, and we're true big believers of what God is saying in the hour. It's not a place where you'll hear stories and then maybe learn a lesson from the story, but it's actually a rhema word of what God is saying in this hour. And last week, God began to speak about being holy, for I am holy. And we need to have an understanding of what holiness is. And if I could like narrow it down in a real quick saying, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Within that will bring you to a place of holiness. Because God is not looking at sin. Even though that we are all sinners, but we are saved by grace. Now, I'm going to give you an oxymoron kind of quote. There is no sin, but yet there's sin. But there is no sin, but yet there's sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. With that being said, he slain the lamb and gave us remission of sin. So all sin is forgiven. But it doesn't mean that sin doesn't exist. It's forgiven. What God requires from us is called repentance. Now, repentance isn't going around saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Repentance only comes through grace. And that's what this ministry emphasizes on, is grace and glory. Grace is a knowledge of truth, and then after grace is given, then we come to glory, because we become overcomers, we become victorious, we conquer darkness through grace. And so we come to God through grace. Through grace we have truth and knowledge. And then from that truth and knowledge, we receive glory, because we get changed from glory to glory to glory. This is why it's so important to understand the love of God, because the love of God gives us that relationship. When Pastor Tim was talking to those people and asked them if they ever had a relationship with God and what is salvation, they didn't understand. They didn't know how to answer. They were like, well, my salvation is because I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins. And he's like, well, do you have a relationship with God? I say my prayers. Well, does he commune with you? You know, there's a word that says, get away from me, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, I never knew you. It's like, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name, but I never knew you. God is longing to know us. So when we know him, we commune with him. We go to him, he comes to us. And when he speaks to our heart, he brings us peace. And he'll tell us when we need to change the way we're thinking. See, sin dwells within all of us. We can't get away from it. We were born in it. And through that, it's a form of ignorance. And now, don't take this as a bad thing. It's we were naive. We just didn't know. We spoke about what sin is. It's a passionate desire. It's a passionate desire of will. That's what sin is. When Jesus came out and he was a man without sin, he laid his will down. He would say to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. So he was one without sin. He laid his will down. He had no passionate will. He was always following the Father's will. That separated him from sin and death. When we come to the Lord, we say to the Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. That in itself is like the gateway to holiness. And when we give our lives to Him that way, and then we begin to, you know, ask God, God, I have a decision here. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to turn left? Do you want me to turn right? Should I stay or should I go? And then all of a sudden, the Lord begins to speak to your heart, and He begins to show you things, and then you know the answer. And then when He gives you the answer, you know without a shadow of a doubt. If you don't, then you have to question your relationship. Like Pastor Tim said earlier, you're from every wind of doctrine tossed to and fro. There's one doctrine, the Word of God, that seals your heart with a place of peace. Now, yes, we do sometimes have some doubts. We're unsure. There has been many people in the Bible that would have Gideon, right? He would take the fleece and throw it on the ground and say, Lord, you know, I need confirmation. Let it rain on the fleece and nowhere else. So God honored him. And still with that, he says, I need another confirmation. And he threw it down and said, okay, now let it rain everywhere else, but not on the fleece. And God did it for him. And what I'm saying is, to doubt is not a bad thing, but what did he do? He kept asking God. He kept confirming. He kept looking for a witness. He kept asking for a witness. Now, I want to go back to sin. God has forgiven us, and he threw everything in the sea of forgetfulness. Whatever we do tomorrow, whatever we do, okay, it's forgiven. What he's requiring from us, and this is how to come into his holiness, is he's requiring from us to change the way we're thinking. If we have these uncontrollable, passionate wills, and what I mean by uncontrollable, passionate wills, it could be as simple as fear. Now remember what I said in the beginning. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you knew those three principles, that will bring you into holiness. Because perfect love casts out fear. And if we're walking in fear, we're actually walking in sin. And God is saying, repent. Trust in me. Trust and know that I have ordained a righteous person's footsteps. And you might doubt your righteousness. Go back to loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And I know some individuals, and I know one who loves God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He checks with him all the time. In everything he does, he looks to the Father. That's holiness. And through that, he's a man without sin. There's old church doctrine that says you're never without sin. And that is true, because that means that we still have to repent. We're always repenting. We're always coming to that place of changing the way we're thinking. Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't do, that I want to do, or what have you? And he says it's because of sin that dwells within us. It'll always dwell there. It will always dwell there. But that sin isn't counted against us. You know what's counted against us? Lack of repentance. That's why Paul says, I change daily. I die daily. I'm renewing my mind daily. I'm changing the way I'm thinking daily. And so if we keep our hearts in that place of repentance daily, constant change, always looking to renew, always coming to that place of repentance, we're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. And God is asking us to come to glory. Now, by repenting, changing the way we're thinking, coming to that place of truth, coming through that place of spiritual knowledge, which is grace, because knowledge by grace. See, a lot of people think, and they interpret grace as God's mercy. Yes, it is mercy to have knowledge to be able to defeat the enemy, to be able to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. Yes, that is mercy. But the root of it is knowledge. Without knowledge, you don't have any mercy. So the knowledge is given first. So when God pours out revelational knowledge on you, and then you have discernment, you can hear the darkness's voice by tearing down, stealing, bringing in negativity, saying things that aren't healthy. Oh, it'll never work, or oh, it'll never happen, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or look around and see. That in itself, if you can discern that, that's grace. So when I heard Brother Stanchek over here talking about how he had five principles, and through this ministry he has gotten these core principles that were able to war against the thoughts of his mind, to cast out fear, that's a blessing. Because only God can open up your eyes that you will be able to see how to destroy the darkness, how to destroy the enemy. Because people need to understand, darkness is crouching, looking to steal, rob, kill, and destroy on a daily basis. Constant. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's not going to mess with his own army. So if you're in the world and you're like saturated in that place, darkness isn't going to mess with you. Matter of fact, darkness is going to bless you. Isn't that crazy? Think about Jesus when he was in the desert. Darkness said, or Satan, the devil, however you want to verbalize it, he says, if you bow down to me, I will give you all these things. I'll just give them all. So, can the devil bless? You better believe it. The devil can bless. When blessings come my way, I tremble. Thank you. I tremble. And then I look up and I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I never take any blessing for granted. I thank him. I thank him. You know, I truly believe that blessings come neutral. And then they can turn dark or light. Because how it turns dark is you deserve it. You earned it. Somehow or another, you're associated with it. You worked hard for it. Whatever it is. But when you take yourself out of the equation, it all comes from God. How many people understand that blessing? So listen, it's amazing how the spiritual world works. But the bottom line is, God wants us to look at him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our minds. He wants us to acknowledge him. So if anyone is out there listening and they don't feel worthy to come to God, they don't feel worthy to come to church, so to say, they don't feel worthy, just begin to love God, trust God, accept God. Begin to say, look, God, I'm going to make you my God now, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to put you in place, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to ask for you, and I'm going to, you know, question, and I'm going to throw some things at you, and I want you to begin to, you know, tell me and let me lead me, guide me, direct me. Guess what? You have just walked into the holies of holies. You have just came to holiness. You know, not many people understand holiness. They think that they have to come through works. You know, when that scripture says, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That is a person who didn't really know God, who did their relationship through works, and never came to a place of repentance. You know, a worker of iniquity is someone who is just taking grace for granted, who has just said, you know what? My sins are forgiven because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I go to church, you know, or I say my prayers. They don't take it any further. They don't take it to that daily walk. They don't take it to that daily personal relationship where it consumes them. God is a consuming fire, and He wants to consume every bit of you. Now, you don't have to change the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. He's not asking you to strip off your clothes and put on a priestly garment. He loves you just the way you are. He wants the heart changed. He doesn't want the outside changed. He wants the heart changed. And I believe in this hour, God is saying, come. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Come, and I'll give you rest. Come. All you have to do is come to me, and holiness will come. All you have to do is, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And now all things are going to be changed. Now, getting back, darkness, looking to steal, kill, destroy. Darkness doesn't want to play with his side of the army. Why would darkness defeat his own soldiers? When you begin to give God all glory, honor, and praise, guess what? You have just put a red ticket on you. And the darkness is looking to devour you. Now, not many people want to say these kind of things. But this is why it's important to understand grace. Did anybody hear the fact that when you first came to the Lord, it seemed like all hell broke loose? It's usually what happens. The enemy, I know when God started knocking on my heart and started to make me make decisions that were beyond comprehension, I came under severe attacks. And that's what's going to happen. But through grace, I was able to come into glory. And what that means is through grace, I was able to renew my mind and cause my heart not to be troubled, and have victory. And that's what God wants. He wants to have victory in your life. And through grace, we establish victory. And that's glory. And we come into the realm of glory. And God says, those who overcome, I will grant them a seat next to me. Those who overcome. It's not that 10-minute altar call, that one day you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's just the beginning. That is like one cornerstone of your life. And now we have to build upon that cornerstone. And a lot of people tend to stop. And God is saying, not in this hour. Time is getting too close. You know, I was never really one of those end time, you know, prophesying ministry type person. But I'm going to tell you right now, we live in segments of ages and timelines. And we're coming to an end of a timeline and a beginning of a new one. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is saying something different in this hour. It's short. And those that are already called by His name, He's saying, take it higher. Take it higher. You don't have to, like, quit your whole entire life. What He's asking for is just that you would love Him more with your heart, soul, and mind. You know, when Peter stood before the Lord, and I heard this earlier today, and he said, feed my sheep, right? He says, you're the Christ, and on this I'll build my church. But in the beginning, he said it two other times. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you, yeah. Maybe God is saying, do you love me? And maybe we're saying, oh yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you. But it, has your life showed that you loved him? And then he said it again a second time. Do you love me? And then it started hitting him. Man, I don't really seek you the way I should be seeking you. I'm not really looking towards your holiness the way I should be looking towards your holiness. And he goes, oh, Lord. At the end, he's like, you know. You know. He came to a place where he had to come to repentance. Am I really seeking him with all my heart, soul, and mind? God is saying, come to holiness. Come to holiness. My prayer is that we become as Christ is and take on that divine nature. And how do we take on that divine nature? For one, we need to understand grace. We need to understand the sacrifice that God so loved the world that he sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice, and forgave sin completely. And so now there is no more condemnation. There is no condemning. There is no more shame. And we take that out of our lives. Some of us still carry it. We don't realize that we carry it. Oh, I let this person down. Maybe some of us feel as though that we let our fathers down, or our mothers down, or our family members down. Or maybe some of us feel as though that we let somebody down, maybe yourself. And that's shame. Maybe we feel as though that we could have done better. Maybe we're feeling as though that, but I'm going to tell you right now, you did everything possible that you could have done. The only difference is, you know, maybe you didn't seek God and he would have gave you a different direction or a different answer or something, you know. But God doesn't count that against you. He just basically says, seek me and I'll give you the answers. Ask and you shall receive. Has anyone ever heard that verse before? You know, God wants to have that communion. God wants to lead a righteous person's footsteps. What makes us righteous? Love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. How do we come into holiness? How do we get into that, into the gates of holiness? How do we come to the holies of holies? Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. I mean, how much simpler can this get? God doesn't want the gospel complicated. He wants it simple so that a babe can get it. He says, come unto me like a little babe. Come unto me like a little child. He doesn't want it complicated to where it just fills you up with a bunch of, you know, babbling words that don't make any sense and you walk out like, huh? You need to understand that it's simple. And as simple as loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind begins to create holiness. Now we can come to God. You know, a lot of people feel this way. I know some good guys in my life. I'll tell you what, they were the first ones that would see a child fall off their bicycle. They would run. They would drop what they had in their hands and they would run to pick up that child. But they would make this comment. If I walked into that church would burn. Or I'll burn. If I walked into that church, I'd burn right up. I can't go to church. I can't go to God. Are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm not a good guy. I'm like, yeah, I look at them and I say, who's lying to you? You got more goodness in you than those who think they're good. It's the ones who don't think they're good are good. How many people have met some good people that had some real evil desires that were like, whoa, are you kidding me? or walked by when someone was in need and saw someone that was in need and did it quietly. Didn't shout from the mountaintops, "Hey, look at what I'm going to do before I do it." What you do for God in secret, He rewards you openly. Get ready for a blessing. Get ready for a blessing, because your blessing's coming. You know, God doesn't work on our timeline. And I always look back, and when I'm being blessed today, I usually look back 2-3 weeks ago and say, what did I do 3 weeks ago? That I'm getting a blessing today. You know, and if I'm doing something not right, I can guarantee 2-4 weeks from now, I'm going to be smacked somewhere. It doesn't normally happen right then and there, as most probably think. There's a battle in the heavenlies over our heads all the time. There is a spiritual warfare that is over us all the time. And if you're tired of being attacked, I'm going to tell you right now, come into His holiness. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, I'm going to tell you right now, you are covered in His glory. And no matter what weapon comes against you, it won't prosper. You will just continue to walk in His glory and His grace, and no weapons formed against you will prosper at all. The problem is we go in and out of holiness. We're in and out. And we only come into His holiness when we're in trouble. So God's like, I'm a jealous God and I won't have any other gods before you. And if the only time I get to see you is in trouble, guess what? Here's more trouble. Have some more trouble. Have some more trouble. You know, God's a jealous God. And if you have yourself in a position where you're like, it seems like trouble follows me. Well, maybe it does. Because God is saying, I love you so much that the only time I get to see you is when trouble's there. God is saying, I'm going to see you all the time. And if you're tired of the trouble, then see me on the good days too. Come to me on the good days and watch the troubles go away. Don't give me a week of good days and think the troubles are going to leave right away. Because understand, there is a heavenly war that is going on constantly over our heads. Constant. And those battles take time. It might take a week. It might take a month. God is an eternal God. Some battles might take longer than, you know, others, but it's time. How many people are beginning to understand this? I want you to know that when you make a commitment in your heart to come to Him in holiness, there's repentance that is required. And it's not going to Him saying, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm searching my heart and I want to say sorry for this and I want to say sorry for that and I want to say sorry for this and start finding all these little, you know, I took a piece of gum from my sister and I'm sorry for that because I didn't ask. God doesn't care about those things. He doesn't care. He knew you were going to do it before you did it. What we need to do is just change the way we're thinking. Lord, today I want to see you. I want to be with you. I want to spend that time. I want you on my heart. You know, there are times when I question the call. I said, Lord, you know, sacrifice is great. Then he always gets me to look at Jesus and he says, look at his sacrifice. And you think your sacrifice is great? Look at his. I say, okay, you're right. But it's still great. You say you never give me more than I can't handle, so I can probably handle this, but it's great. And I question. And then he goes, I got a fire burning inside of you. You commune with me 24/7. I'm with you all the time. Why would you question? There are others who would long to know me. There are others who are called and don't even know me, and they're walking in a call and they don't even know me. He says, you know me and you're questioning? You're on your heart. I'm on your heart 24/7. And it's true. I'll be cutting wood or building something, and we're having our conversation. He's priming me up for the next message I'm going to be talking or whatever. He's showing me and teaching me, and just we're communion. We're eating together. We're fellowship. We're drinking together. He's always on my mind. He's always on my heart. This morning, I didn't know if I was going to share this, but I woke up. And it was to a Roy Orbison song. And it was, it goes like this. I want to love you. Does anyone know Roy Orbison? What is that song?
I don't know. I know every song, but I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, it's something about love. I knew it. Oh, it'll come to me. But I was saying to the Lord, is this my song to you? Because normally you would hear these songs and then you would think you're singing it to him. But he was singing it to me. And I said, oh, wow. And it was in the midst of questioning a lot of things. You know, and that's how God tends to work with us. You got it? Let me put my bifocals on. Try another one. Try another one. And I hope I got the right artist. Roy Orbison. But it stuck with me so deep, and now it's no longer there. But it's okay. But God, when he commissioned me, I heard these words from Jesus. Now I saw a lot of things, but an audible voice was, go back and tell them about my Father. My whole life now is committed to tell everyone about my Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the God of the universe. We're talking to many people around the world, and their interpretation of God is so many things. But there's one, our Creator. I've come down to calling him our Creator. And he is our Heavenly Father. And he created us to love him. The crazy thing is he first loved us. He pulled me out of a miry pit. And not only did he pull me out, but he gave me to be a stewardship of his grace. And to be a stewardship of his grace, it's the weapons of our warfare. And I have a whole closet full of weapons to defeat the enemy, who his one purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy your life and separate you from the Father. And God doesn't want that. He wants you to have weapons of warfare. He wants you to be able to battle because He gave you a power. And that power is by His Holy Spirit. And that power alone, with the grace, you can destroy every spiritual warfare that comes into your life that tries to steal your peace and your joy and your righteousness. There is a kingdom that is inside of you, and the enemy wants to defeat it, but God wants you to rule and reign in it. And He wants you to come into glory. He wants you to come to Him in glory, in victory. He's going to say to you on those days of judgment, "Come, well done, my faithful servant. You have taken the weapons of the warfare. You have taken my grace, and you have defeated the darkness. You have overcome. I will grant you a seat right next to me." He says, "Come. Come into His holiness." Let me have every head bowed for a moment. You know, the Lord began to speak to me clearly today. And He said, "Those that are heavy laden and need rest to come. Those that are battling issues, situations that are in their lives, come." And He'll give you rest. I believe at this moment, heaven is opened. And He knows your situation. He knows the battles that you've been warring against. And this is a time of mercy. He is going to pour out mercy upon you when you begin to ask. As you ask, He'll deliver you and set you free. At the same time, He's going to reveal to you grace. You're going to know. You're going to know how to move forward. You're going to know how to handle the situation. And through that grace, He's going to give you wisdom so that you can better your life moving forward. And through this, it's a sign, a wonder, and a miracle to you so that you can see that God is with you and that He never left you, nor will He ever forsake you. He wants you to come to holiness. He wants you to come to that throne room of grace. He wants to lift you up and exalt you. He knows your heart. He knows your hunger. And He knows your thirst. And sometimes it's going to take obligation, commitment. It's going to take repentance. And sometimes you might have to forsake chapters of your lives for a moment. A season. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And as we diligently seek Him in holiness and put away sin, which is that passionate desire of will, and demanding our way when we say, Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way be done. And you know the desires of my heart, and if I have to wait, I'll wait. And if I never get it, I never get it. But give me the wisdom to deal with it. Show me what I need to do with it. This is where his mercy and his grace comes with wisdom. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the sign, the wonder, the miracle that you have given it to our lives. Your life will never change, will never be the same, it will change. It's not by accident that you're here today. God is speaking this word directly to you. He loves you, and you've committed yourself as a sacrifice to him, and you've been proven and tried, and even hated without a cause. And your reward is noted. Now God is saying, I'm placing a fire that is inside of you, and I'm going to reignite it to burn even more. You are called to be a pastor. You're called to be a prophet. You're called to be an evangelist. You're called to be a teacher. And you're called to be an apostle. For the building and the edifying of the church. And the new church is rising up in grace and in glory. The blood is going to become real. The sacrifice is going to become real. And there will be no more sin. A revelation of repentance is coming. Not that we are guilty or ashamed, because there is no condemnation in Christ, but a place where we can be renewed. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to just